We've been talking about prayer and emphasizing the value and the worth of prayer. You've heard people say that those of you that know the worth of prayer, pray for me. I want to take you to a text today that emphasizes prayer, but it's a different approach to prayer, and I believe it's going to help you today. The message that I'll be sharing with you is a strange place to pray. Go with me to the book of Jonah. And we're going to talk about a strange place to pray. Praying in a strange place. Jonah chapter 2 is where we will find our text. That's in the Old Testament. After the book of Hosea, you're going to find the book of Jonah. After the book of Obadiah, you're going to find the book of Jonah. Are we there? Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you would bless us now and give us, Lord, that unction of the Holy Spirit, that as we share the word today, that it would go into our hearts and bring forth your truth that we desperately need in a time like this. God, I'm praying that you would touch every soul that's in the need of prayer, that you would bless those online who join with us as they need prayer. People that are watching on Facebook, those that are on YouTube, and later those that will be listening on WLLL. We pray for them. We pray, God, that you would move in their hearts mightily by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring forth deliverance. Bring forth your healing. Give them strength, Lord. Touch their minds. That one, Lord, that's about to lose it all. I pray, God, that you would touch them right now in the precious name of Jesus. And, Lord, that you would do for them the things that they cannot do for themselves and need your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. Amen. If I mention this title to you, you're going to automatically know the author of it. I just simply need to say the words, green eggs and ham. You automatically think about Dr. Seuss and the many books that he had written. But in that particular book, it's odd that we would find a recipe for prayer. A recipe for prayer. You see, Sam I Am was trying to get this other person to try it. Old saying goes, kind of like Mikey, try it, you like it. And he would say to him, well, would you try it in a boat? Would you try it here? Would you try it on the mountain? Would you try it? Just try it. And reluctantly, when you get to the end of the book, he tries it. And he likes it. And he says to Sam, I am, I would eat green eggs and ham anywhere. Now, how does that apply to prayer? It applies to prayer because we believe you have to be in certain places, like a church. Or maybe on a mountaintop. Or maybe as you view the ocean, you have to be inspired to pray. Granted, we call the church the house of prayer. And we know that God hears our prayer, but I want to argue with you today that God will hear your prayer from any place. God will hear your prayer and your cry if you simply call out to him in faith and believe that the Lord can grant you deliverance. We learned this during the struggle with COVID, that it's not always you have to be in the church to be in Christ. You simply need to focus on God. Sadly, many people lost their focus because they believe in confining God to a geographical area or to some situation. When things are going good, the Lord must love me. When things are going bad, maybe God doesn't care that much about me. That is not true, ladies and gentlemen. And so what I want to do is confront some of those myths that are going through our mind that's dictating to us that you have to be in a certain way or you have to have all of these things or a certain environment for God to hear your prayer. If God could hear Jonah from the belly of a fish, I'm telling you that God can hear your prayer. Do I have any witnesses in the building? Yes, we've got to deal with some of these myths. There is a myth that says God will not hear me if I sin. That's not true. God will hear you. As a matter of fact, let me just ask a question. This includes those online. Tell me the last time that you stopped sinning. Anybody in here perfect? There are sins of omission and sins of commission. And a lot of times in church, we think that we stop drinking, we stop smoking, we stop hanging out on Saturday night. Y'all did stop that, right? We think to ourselves, well, it must be all right, and I'm in God's good favor because I don't do all those things. I don't go out and participate in a lot of things. There are sins also of omission. Maybe there was a person in need and I neglected them or I turned the other way. Maybe there was a situation that I could have handled differently and I didn't do what I needed to do. Ladies and gentlemen, sin cannot stop you from praying. It can lead you further in the wrong path, but if you pray, as the Bible says, if my people should humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, God says, then I will hear from heaven. Did you not know that Romans chapter 5, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So don't let anybody fool you with the myth that if you sin, you can't pray. You can pray and get it right with God. Now here's the thing that we have to focus on. I'm thankful that through prayer and reading God's word, we become sinless. We don't do it the way we used to. We don't sin in the same manner. We come short of God's glory, but thank God we're living for the kingdom of God. Amen? And the Bible says that our last state of existence, we will stand perfect before Christ Jesus. And how will we do it? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say amen. Amen. But there are prayer myths that we have to deal with. There's another myth that says prayer must be made from a special place. That used to be, you had to have someone to be an intercessor between you and God. And in the Old Testament, it was the high priest. You'd bring your offering, and the priest would offer that to God, and they would say, you are blessed, the Lord has heard your prayer. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, when he hung his head in the lap of his shoulder and died, the veil of the temple that separated the holiness of God from the sinfulness of mankind was torn apart. And God was saying, literally, anybody who wants to, you can come. What an amazing God we serve. Don't let them allow that myth to go in your mind that you have to be in a special place. But then there's another myth that we have to deal with. People don't pray and they say, I'm not going to pray if I'm desperate because then that means I'm just calling on God and only in an emergency. Let me tell you something. These days look like we're having a whole lot of emergencies. And the Bible says that you're to pray at all times. You're to call on God at all times. You're to make your request known to God at all times. Don't let any situation keep you from praying. So what have we learned so far? We've learned that God will hear your prayer Even if you have come short of His glory, if you've sinned, God will hear your prayer. We've learned that prayer doesn't have to be a special place. Now you come, you can come and pray at the church if you so desire. And you have learned also that if you are going through a situation, I can't imagine in my mind what it would be like to be caught in the middle of someone who has a gun and he's opening fire on people and you're in the midst of it. What are you going to do? Down in Raleigh, that happened. Many of the schools that we pray for each day, that happens. People are so enraged and angry, you don't know who's going to go off next. But I tell you one thing, prayer changes things. Prayer. When you pray to God, the Lord will hear your cry. Abraham prayed. As a matter of fact, he came into a land. He didn't know if anybody else knew God or not. So everywhere he went, he'd build him an altar. And he would make that altar his place of prayer. There were no sanctuaries. There were no synagogues. There was no temple. It was just Abraham and God. Now, was he effective at it? The Bible says that Abraham prayed and honored God so much that God said, "That's my friend." Wow, that's prayer. That's prayer. There have been many people that have called on God from some strange places. Daniel was a praying man. Separated from his people. Separated from his homeland. And yet he learned the effectiveness of prayer. And because he didn't have a temple, he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open my windows toward Jerusalem, and I'm going to call on my God, because my God will hear my prayer, even in Babylon." Folks didn't like it. As a matter of fact, they came up with a decree that said, anybody who prays to any God other than our king, he's going to be thrown into the lion's den. So guess what happened? They threw him into the lion's den. But guess what Daniel did? He kept praying. What you've got to do, whether it's a lion's den, whether it's an emergency situation, whether it's a crisis, you've got to pray, because what happens, you invoke the presence of God right where you are. You can go through your Bible and find many demonstrations of God blessing people in some odd places when they prayed. Joshua on the battlefield. Peter in the midst of the water. You can find God answering short prayers, long prayers. It didn't matter. The people prayed and God heard. Y'all remember that old song we used to sing in the church? I called and he heard me and pitied my every groan. That's what God does. Pray in season. Pray out of season. Pray because that's what God invokes you to do as you give Him thanks and you honor Him. So here's Jonah. Here's Jonah. Praying perhaps in one of the most strangest places that we've ever heard of. Now my question is, if you're just learning about Jonah, which many of us have heard the story of the man that got swallowed by a whale. Well, I don't know whether it was a whale, but it said the Lord had prepared this kind of fish. Whatever it was, Jonah found himself praying from the belly inside of the whale, which meant that monster or that fish had swallowed him. Get that in your mind. I'm very visual. I have to fit something in my mind. And my thing that I want to deal with today, what's a nice guy like him doing in a place like that? How in the world did he get there? This might be a good time for you to ask your question to God. How in the world did I get here in my life? I'm being swallowed up. Have you all ever felt that way sometime? Overwhelmed by things that come your way, not knowing how to deal with it. Jonah is a classic example that will help you understand that and help you to come to the place where you recognize, no matter where I am, I can still pray. I can still pray. Well, how did he get there? Very briefly, If you read Jonah, only four chapters, interesting chapters. Phil, you talk about adventure. This is adventure. So God says to this guy, he says to him, hey, Jonah, I need somebody to go over to Nineveh and talk to the folks over there because they're wicked. They're not living right. So Jonah hears God clearly, but instead of him going to Nineveh, he goes over to Joppa and catches him a fish or catches him a ship down to Tarshish. Now, if you looked at an Old Testament map, Tarshish is on the southern tip of Spain. That's probably about as far as you can go in that known world to get away from Nineveh, which is hundreds of miles away. So Jonah's basically telling God, I ain't doing it. Now, he has some theological reasons for it, because his theology did not allow him to hang out with heathens, like some of us, right? I ain't hanging around them folk. They do all that nasty stuff. I'm not going to be around. Some of y'all might, I ain't got a problem with it. So Jonah found himself out of the will of God into his own plan. Be careful when you step out into your own plan. Be careful when you decide you're going to go in your own direction, because you do not have the favor of God. I'd rather be in trouble in God's will than to be considering myself safe outside of God's will. Clap your hands, all you people. So Jonah thinking, hey, man, I'm going to head down to Tarshish. I'm going to hang out. By the way, that's the southern tip. Probably on the beach out there. He's thinking to himself, man, when I get to the beach, I'm going to get me one of these lawn chairs, and we're just going to hang out and get some lemonade, and we're going to be fine. We're going to have a fine life. But the Bible says that when they launched out, there came a storm. Not like any other storm. The mariners that were on the ship said to themselves, man, we ain't ever been in a storm like this. Somebody must have messed up between them and their God. Now, here's the non-religious folk all of a sudden getting religion. I like that. And they're saying to themselves, we need to find out who has done this. So they did this thing of called casting lots or drawing straws and figure out which one did it. And the lot fell on, guess who? Jonah. Now, let me interject a certain thing here. What you do can get other folk in trouble. Say that with me. What I do can get other people in trouble. So be careful. Be careful how you live your life. Be careful of the intention of your life. More importantly, be careful of this little thing that goes between your teeth. You can say stuff just like that, but you can't take it back. Be careful. Jonah's out there in the ocean. He's out there in the sea. And now everybody else is freaking out. Everybody else is saying, oh my God, we're going to die. Jonah's going, it's all my fault. I'm the one. Just throw me overboard. You know, just like, let me just kick me down the road. Now all of a sudden he realizes what he's done. Why in the world would he ask this? I do not know. But he says, throw me overboard. Wait a minute, Jonah. You ain't got a boat or something? You just going to bail out? You don't have a life jacket? And you're going to bail out? One thing I've learned in my almost 70 years of living, you don't jump out of one thing until you make sure where you're jumping. That's good advice. Amen. So he's thinking, if I end it all, it doesn't matter. Jonah had this issue within him, and I want to speak to people who are thinking about and contemplating suicide. Wait a minute. My mama told me something, and I'm going to tell you right now. If life don't kill you, don't kill yourself. Don't do it. Number one, you didn't give yourself that life. Who gives you the authority to take charge of it and try to end it? Number two, give God a chance. Give God a chance. Yeah. Clap your hands, all you people. Yeah, give God a chance. So here's Jonah, over in the water, and you can only swim but so long if you're in the middle of the ocean. Your arms get tired. But the scripture says, but God prepared a fish. The fish was not sent to kill Jonah. The fish was sent from God to get him back into God's will and to the place where he needed to serve. God could have killed Jonah at any time. He could have taken our life at any time. Oh yeah, that accident you thought you'd avoid, man, that, whew, great day. No. That was the mercy of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Your time is coming up. Your exit point is coming up. But God says right now, it's not your time because I've got a divine plan for you. I want to glorify myself through you and through the work that I'm going to give you to do. Anybody in the building? Matter of fact, Idi Amin, probably one of the most ruthless leaders of all, killed hundreds of thousands of people. And here's Idi Amin saying, I will not die until Allah wills it. That's what he said. I'm not going to die until God wants me dead. Here's another promise that you can make. I will not die because God keeps me alive. Oh, do I need to tell you, he woke me up this morning. Started me on my way. God gave me health and strength. I can stand up on my own two feet. And guess what? I can lift my hands and say, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done for me. Isn't God wonderful? All right, now let me rush on and get this thing finished up here because I got five things I want to give you about Jonah. So what do you do when you're in the middle of the ocean, out of God's will, sinking fast, and all you've got now is a fish that's coming your way? Ladies and gentlemen, it could be a worse place or it could be a blessed place. The whale's belly was where God wanted Jonah for the time because he knew, God knew, I'm not going to let him sink. By the way, there was air inside that fish. I don't know how, but there had to be air in there because Jonah was breathing something. You don't live 3 days without air. You can live 3 days without eating, but you need some air to breathe. But I can also imagine that in the belly of a fish, there's some other decaying stuff in there. It doesn't smell too good. In other words, Jonah was in a stinky situation. And some of y'all are saying, man, Rev, you nailed it right on the head. I'm in a stinky situation, and I don't know how to get out of it. Trust God. Because when your plan comes short, God has a perfect plan. God has a perfect plan. So there he was in that fish. One day passed, Jonah ain't praying. Didn't pray while he was on the boat. Didn't pray while he was in the water. Didn't pray the first day. Second day come along, you start thinking then, man, something needs to happen. And that's like us. We want to work it out. I'm okay. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try plan B. Plan A gone. Let me try plan B. And then before the day is over, all right, that done fell flat. Let me try plan C. Then God taps you on the shoulder and said, look up and acknowledge that I am God. On that third day, everybody say third day. How do I know it was the third day? Because Jesus quotes Jonah. Jesus says, as the Son of Man, amen, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus quotes Jonah, so if Jesus said it, it must be so. Here's Jonah on that third day. He's got a change of heart. All of a sudden, he's not in control. And so there are five things I'm going to give them to you real quick. They're going to come like popcorn, all right? So y'all get ready. Write them down, amen? Jonah begins to pray to God. The first thing that happens to Jonah is that he acknowledges that he's in a low place. He's in a low place. If you're in a bad place, admit it. Don't kid yourself. Don't say, it's going to be all right. That's the favorite confession of Christians. It's going to be all right. You sure about that? Jonah's in a low place. The Bible says in Jonah 2 and verse 1, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. in that low place, in that place of agony, in that stinky place, in that messed up place. Now he's got to deal with the consequences, and yet he prays. It may seem strange, it may seem odd, and yet Jonah prays. In order to pray, you've got to humble yourself. Let me put it to you bluntly. You got to break down. Some tears have got to come down your face. You got to acknowledge, God, I'm about to break. I can't take it anymore. And that's really what Jonah was saying. God is out of control. I don't know how to handle this, but I'm looking up to you. There's somebody right now, you need to look up to God and pray. Second thing that Jonah did, he recognized that this was a situation between life or death. How many of you all have come that close? You came that close. You could almost smell it. You could almost see it. You could almost taste it. The bitterness that's on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, life, and especially our adversary, he will push you not just to the edge, but he will push you over the edge. Oh, but somebody comes to your rescue. God Almighty sends his angels, and God says, not today. You may claim them one day, but not today. Death may say, God, can I have them? No, you can't have them. I got a plan for them. So if you're standing between a life or death situation, you need to acknowledge that I can't control it, but God can. Here's what Jonah said in Jonah 2 and verse 2. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. My call was made not to the White House, not to the governor's office, not to my local county administrator, not to my House of Representatives. By the way, that's a plug for y'all to vote. But while you're voting, you better cast a vote for Jesus. You better say to yourself, come what will or may, who's in office, who's out of office, Jesus reigns. He's my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. Jonah prayed. He was in a life and death situation, and he prayed. He was in a low place, and he prayed. But not only that, Jonah was out of the will of God, but he prayed. Then he said in verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of your sight. In other words, I'm in this fish's belly because I did something wrong or I didn't do something right. I'm in this place. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if thou shalt confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all righteousness. What that says is you got another chance. Look at somebody, tell them, you got another chance. You didn't die today. You didn't die yesterday. You got another chance. Jonah said, I've got another chance. God, I want to tell you, I come short, I messed up. I'm in a stinky place. But if you hear me, I'm going to get ready to get up out of here. Oh, bless his name. Thing number four. That's a clue to Dr. Seuss, by the way. Some of y'all missed it. What would he say? Well, thing number four. God heard Jonah. The purpose of prayer is not to impress people. The purpose for prayer is not for you to get back and say, man, that was a powerful prayer. There's no such thing as a powerful prayer. There's an effective prayer. All prayers are weak. All prayers are weak. Now, why are they weak? The weaker they are, the better they are. Because the more you need God, the more you're going to get out of his way. Clap your hands, all you people. The weaker you are, the better place you're in. Look at Jonah. He's helpless. He can knock on the ribs of that fish all in one. Even if he had a pocket knife, what good would it have done for him to try to cut his way out? You need God. God heard Jonah. Listen to verse 2 again. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. The all-knowing God, the omniscient God, hears your prayer. Where, Jonah? Out of the belly of hell, I cried. Now, was Jonah headed to the place of damnation? In the Old Testament, there are two words for hell. There's the literal place of punishment, but then there's also this place called Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead. You don't come back from there. And Jonah is really saying, God, keep me from dying. God, spare my life. Out of the belly, I cried, and you heard my voice. Now, you don't hear much inside of a fish, do you? Fishermen can be outside, and they can't even hear the fish, much less what's inside of the fish. But you got a God that has numbered every hair on your head. You've got a God, an amazing God. He knows the one you colored and the one that's supposed to be the color. You have a God who's merciful, who knows you better than you know yourself. And God says, I'm listening. I'm listening. Regardless of what time it is. By the way, 2 o'clock in the morning is a great time to pray. If you wake up, don't just get up. Make the devil mad. Pray. Jonah prays from that dark place. So what have we said so far? God heard Jonah's prayer. Jonah was out of God's will. He is in a low place, and it's a place of life or death. In closing, here's the wonderful thing. And the Lord spoke to the fish. That's miracle number one. Write that down. Verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish. God is speaking to situations that's got you smothering for air. God is speaking to those problems that's got you almost strangled. God may not be saying much to you. He may be silent in your ear, but in the ear of that situation that has a hold on you, God is saying something. You're free. God says to you and me, be still and know that I'm God. But he says to that problem, take your hands off of them. They don't belong to you. God says to the habit, you've been in it long enough. Habit, let them go. God says to your issue that you're facing, they've gone through this as much as they can. God spoke to the sickness of a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. God spoke to that situation and spoke to the woman, said, now, it's all right now. You're healed. But he said to the situation, take your hands off of her. She doesn't belong to you. See, what the real testimony comes is when God sets you free. When God says you're free from your past, you're free from everything that has pained you, now live today for the glory of God Almighty. Clap your hands, all you people. Now here's the other miracle. Not only did God speak to the fish, but the fish vomited out Jonah on the very place that he needed to go. So he didn't lose any time. Are y'all in the building? I'm seeing a miracle here. He vomited out Jonah at that shoreline. In other words, the fish said, you know what? I can't stand Jonah no more. I got to let him go. God told me I got to let him go. Vomit him out on dry land. He's right there, not a great distance from Nineveh. Now all he needs to do is to go through Nineveh. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? The answer to your prayer is not just to look back and say, I'm out of it. But the answer to your prayer is to say, I'm going to run on in Jesus' name. I'm going to let God know that I appreciate what he's done for me. I prayed in a strange place, but thank God I'm going to a place. I'm going to my mission. I'm going to the place where God wants me to serve. I was in a mess, but thank God I'm living a miracle. If you want to see a miracle, just look in the mirror, because God has brought you out with a mighty hand. God has delivered you from every storm, every trial, every situation that could have brought you down. The Lord said, I did it. Go on and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Has it been good to you? Come on, clap your hands. Has it been good to you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, but there's another place that I close with that's a little bit stranger from where Jonah prayed. He prayed from a fish, but Jesus prayed from a cross. And do you not know that when he prayed from the cross, Father turned away from him? But when the Father turned away from him, he turned to you and me, because Jesus was that sacrifice for your sin and my sin. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Every time I prayed, you would always hear me. Every time I call on you, you would always answer. Father, why can't I touch with you? Why can't I see you? But when God turned away from Jesus, he turned to you. He turned to you. He turned to you and said, your sins are forgiven. Over 3 days later, 3 days later, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, Jesus wasn't calling to the Father, but the Father was calling to Jesus, and he called to the gates of glory. He said, lift up your head, all ye gates, even lift them up, you eternal glory, and the King of glory shall come in. And guess what? Jesus was in the grave. And he said, wait a minute. I heard my Father calling me. I got to get up from here. He shook off death, walked up out of the grave, put on his robe of glory, stepped up into the kingdom and said, Father, I'm here. I'm here. And guess what, church? I'm here. In Jesus' name. If you are here, in Jesus' name, lift your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Shout unto God. Shout unto God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Nobody. Nobody can do it but Jesus. Nobody can save like Jesus. I got to stop. I got to quit. I got to stop, but I can't tell you all he's done. He's worked a many miracles. And we as a people of God, we ought to rejoice in him. We ought to be glad to come to the house of prayer. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I got up late this morning, but I jumped in the shower. I said, I got to get out of here, because I got to give God thanks one more time. Give him thanks. Praying in a strange place. Father, hear our prayers. Right now we're going through some strange situations. We don't understand it. But if you heard Jonah, I believe you'll hear me. If you heard Jonah and his cry, I believe you'll hear our cries. We're in a strange day. We're in a strange nation. We're in a lot of strange situation. But you hear us. Bless us now. Not only that you would hear our prayer, but use us for your glory. And if there's anyone here today who've not made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, I don't know why you wouldn't make that decision today. He's done so much for you. Why not live for him? If you live for yourself, you're only going to stumble into another whale's belly. You're only going to stumble upon another fishy situation. Why not turn it over to God and follow him? Let him lead you in the right path. Lord, bless us. Only you can do. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to open the doors of the church if there be one today. Maybe you've said to yourself, I want to be a part of that congregation. I want God to use me in some way. If that's your prayer, we invite you to come.